Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every once in a rare while, Lee, in the state of South Carolina, sometimes maybe even perhaps by accident, justice is served.
It is pretty rare sometimes.
It is pretty rare. So we like to point it out because we point out the very many cases in which judges appear to have lost their minds, along with prosecutors, and let really dangerous people out with a slap on the wrist. That did not happen, though, thank God, with this guy, Aaron Benjamin Beach, 32 years old, convicted on Tuesday of first-degree criminal sexual conduct with a minor and first-degree sexual exploitation of a minor. What he did was horrific.
That would be a four-year-old little boy.
Yes. He very helpfully videotaped himself abusing the child. So we have absolute ironclad evidence here. For that, he is going to spend life in prison plus 20 years. He will never see the light of day again outside
maybe
the prison.
Maybe not.
Right. I'm sorry. It's sentencing laws. That's right. I forgot. Yeah, there you go.
Maybe not.
No, okay. Yeah, no, and I'm glad you brought that up. First of all, I want to thank Solicitor Walt Wilkins for that.
Yes,
we
absolutely
have criticized him in the past for some of the stuff that's come out of his office in terms of, I feel like, you know, being a little too light on serious criminals. He was not in this case.
And the judge, too.
And the judge, too. So good job by all. And, you know, when they get it right, we want to let people know that, too. So good job, Solicitor Walt Wilkins, on this and taking this seriously. Unfortunately, Lee, right now in our legislature, there are folks working really hard to help poor, convicted child sex abusers like Aaron Benjamin Beach not have to serve their whole sentence, or even really half of it. By the time they're done, it would cut sentences in half, even life sentences, and then it would increase credit for time well served. And so by the time you're done there, you're looking at folks who have 30, 40 year sentences at 15 years being able to have their probation hearing. And as Wilkins wrote so helpfully in an editorial a little over a week ago, the really scary thing here is that at 15 years, he would become eligible for parole. People like this anyway would become eligible for parole, would be a better way to put it. And that poor four-year-old all grown up would have to come back and testify every single year because the bill would put the onus on the victim to show why they should remain in prison. Right now in our system, when it comes to parole hearings, the onus is on the perp. To prove that they should be let out. That's one of the sickest twists in this law. It would literally mean a victim would have to come back every other year and relive the crime.
And why would you want to do that to the victim?
Because you're
of a crime?
Evil. You're just Carl Allen. Shame on you. Greenville County. He's a Democrat Greenville County lawmaker who has sponsored this. You have to be at a certain level of heartless and lack of humanity, or you haven't read the bill. It's one of the two. It's literally inexplicable. And the idea is, well, you know, we had too many people in our prisons and we got overpopulation of our prisons. We've got to let them out. But the legislature has started with the worst crimes here.
You know,
the worst criminals, people who would not normally see the light of day, are now going to possibly be paroled if this passes.
I would be willing to talk about this, about nonviolent offenders, but not child sex offenders. Not habitual drunk drivers, not people who have attempted murder or a rapist or who have actually killed people. You know, that's no. That's what we have prisons for. Not just to punish you, but to keep you away from innocent civilians.
When you look at what they're trying to do here is end structured sentencing. And what structured sentencing has is what's called a mandatory minimum. And when you look, and I sent you a chart on this the other day, when you look at this, I mean, Wall Street Journal has documented this, not in that article, but in another one, how the homicide rate in this country, has fallen by close to half. It's come up a little bit in recent years, but has fallen by close to half since the 70s. Wow, how'd that happen? Well, you know those big prison populations everybody complains about and says it's not fair? It's because the people who do the killing are in prison in this country. And it takes prisons that full to keep us safe. And unfortunately, the mainstream media has done a lot of damage by letting people think that most of the people in there are in there on some small drug charge. That just doesn't happen, not in our system. And I talked to Attorney General Alan Wilson at length about this the other day. He said, listen, this idea that we put, you know, we're putting these drug criminals in there for, you know, they got caught with drugs and they really just need treatment. He said, we don't, if you get caught with drugs, you know, my office doesn't even bother to prosecute you and put you in prison. We put you straight into a diversion program where, guess what, your first time you got caught with anything from, I don't know, meth to marijuana. If you go through our drug treatment program, you're not even going to have a record in most cases. I mean, they are given every, you know, opportunity. The people that are in our prisons are the worst of the worst. And I can prove that to you if you've listened to the show, Lee. I mean, I've documented it again and again. I mean, people with multiple grand theft autos, you know, this is just one guy, multiple grand theft autos, multiple grand theft, grand auto theft, history of violence, 20 years in prison, he's sentenced to, the sentence suspended, he's out running around. Let me assure you, only the most violent are in our prisons, and that's why when the legislature decided we're going to save some money and empty the prisons out, they had to start with the most violent, because that's all that's in there. Our system, if anything, goes way too light on these people. Not hard enough. I mean, God, what you have to do. I mean, by the time that guy that I just told you about with the meth labs and the grand theft autos slammed into a 17-year-old on Wade Hampton, killing him on his way home from church, at the time he's high on meth, has meth in the car, and is driving another stolen car, and still isn't in prison. So, I mean, the public has been duped into thinking these people in prison are just, you know, a poor guy who got caught with a little crack rock, and he was just trying to sell it to make some extra money, and why is he in prison? That's not who's in our prisons, not in this state. It's just not. This is why we need mandatory minimum sentencing, and this law reverses mandatory minimums. And it's sick. It is sick that they are considering letting these people out, I think. So we congratulate Walt Wilkins for trying to put him in.
Yeah, this one time it worked.
Yeah, yeah. One time it worked. I feel terrible for that 4-year-old child.
There's yes.
No amount of punishment for this guy that could ever be enough. I'd like to go with execution for people like this, especially in these cases where it's on video.
That's something that former Lieutenant Governor and former State Senator Kevin Bryant introduced into the state legislature, and of course, you know, it went nowhere.
Yeah.
But it was death penalty for child sex offenders.
Yeah, and you know, it would have to be the most extreme cases because people do occasionally make these up. But there's video in this one. I mean, there's no doubt about the sickness level of this guy. Texter writes, do people in jail get to vote? If the Democrats have their way, yes.
Well, not in jail. They're talking about, you know, trying to have convicted felons get access to voting earlier. I think it's what they're really trying to do. Not necessarily in jail. But then you never know. I mean, hey, next thing you know, Tara, they're going to be wanting 16-year-olds to vote.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that's one of the other ideas.
Yeah.
We barely let 16-year-olds drive in this state.
Well, if 16-year-olds old enough to vote, then we ought to go ahead and have them sign up for the draft, right?
No.
No, I mean, it's just a rhetorical question
know,
for the Democrats.
I know, just like, good grief almighty.
Well, did you see this? You know, they're looking at the black box from the crashed Lion Air jet. And as the jet's nose began to wobble in the air, and pilots were kind of like, dude, what is going on here? Reuters reports, can you imagine this? You're like, wow, this plane shouldn't be doing this. Give me the handbook. They scoured a handbook as they struggled to understand why the jet was lurching downward, but ran out of time before it hit the water. That's from the cockpit recorder. Can you imagine frantically consulting the handbook as the plane goes down? Oh, my. 800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Advantage talk line. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 713-07. Just got a call. She couldn't hang on. I'm going to answer her question anyway. She said, why do you think that they put Paul Ryan on the board of Fox News? I'm glad you asked. Yeah, some of you texting in about this. Texter writes, so do nothing Paul Ryan, we prefer to call him Rat Fink here, landed his corporate board appointment to make more millions from 9 other than Fox News. Imagine that. Now, how did that happen and why did that happen and what's going on with this? If you watch Fox News for long enough, you will notice a hole in their coverage. It's very predictable. And it could be attributed to who their advertising is. What is the hole in their coverage? They will always take the Chamber of Commerce multinational view. By multinationals, I mean companies whose strategy to defeat their other American competitors in business is to move offshore and take advantage of the NAFTA loophole. In other words, they're anti-American. These are the very companies that for years their representatives lobbied against a lowering of the corporate tax rate because it gave them an advantage to be located offshore in order to hurt their American competitors. And if it hurt the American economy, oh well. These are bad, bad people. They're not good people in the way that they lobby right now in Congress. They are the open borders crowd. They are the visa crowd. And they're the keep NAFTA at any cost and to heck if it destroys American manufacturing crowd. They have been weaponized against the leadership of their country, against their country itself. They're the causes of most of the problems. And unfortunately, they are the advertisers on Fox News. It reads like a who's who of the Chamber of Commerce and evil multinational corporations. And all these companies have done is geared over the last 20, 25 years, geared that we're really going back to George H.W. Bush, the author of NAFTA. After his one pathetic term thankfully ended, Bill Clinton picked up NAFTA. It's the same lobbying. And what these guys have done is rigged the system over 30 years to benefit them when they offshore to the detriment of American-based firms and, of course, American-based workers. And if you look at Fox's advertisers, not all of them, but many of them, it is a who's who. I read a great article on this once. It's a who's who of multinationals and Chamber of Commerce types. I told you the Chamber of Commerce would reward Paul Ryan. Pushed for massive visas to replace American workers with jobs with foreign workers. Held the line on Trump's agenda. Kept the border open. Blocked the border fixes that Trump begged for to keep our country secure, both from illegal immigrants, but also from international terrorists. They don't care about that. If people die, they figure it won't be them. They live in gated communities. They don't take things like subways. So they don't go to places like, you know, fireworks shows in public. They figure they'll be fine. They don't care about the rest of us. They are some cynical, hateful people. They are willing to kneecap and destroy our country to throw away everything the founding fathers fought for a good 6 to 8 quarters of profit. Bad, bad, bad people. And what they practice is not capitalism. It's crony capitalism. That's getting the government involved for your capitalistic advantage, and that is no capitalism at all. And so I told you the crony capitalist would reward Paul Ryan. And so it is a simple thing to get him on the Fox board, given who their advertisers are. And you can see in Fox's coverage how it is influenced. What was Fox passionately against? Trump tariffs. What was Fox passionately against? NAFTA renegotiation. Fox has, as we have debated, amnesty bills completely ignored them. Fox practically weaponized their station against Trump when he was in the general election. This is because of their advertisers. So if you're wondering, why is Paul Ryan on the board? Because the advertisers pull strings. Google it, multinational advertisers and Fox, and just start reading. That's why. And the multinationals wanted Paul Ryan on the board going into the election. You're going to see other influences from them, too. If I were Tucker Carlson, I'd watch my back. Look at what just happened to Judge Dineen. They're making their advertisers happy. Think about this for a minute. What did they go after Judge Dineen on specifically? It was the Muslim comment, right? Why would they care about that? Why would they care about it? Because they are dependent on open borders for their schemes to work. That's why. And who were the biggest immigrant class brought in by Obama? Muslims. They were brought in, of course, because they voted at an 88 to 92% rate for Democrats, which is what they want. So if you're wondering why Paul Ryan is sitting on a board, it's a reward to him, and you're going to see him appointed to more boards he is utterly unqualified to serve on. But they get him in there on Fox. They create an atmosphere of fear at Fox. You got to shut this down. You got to shut the Trump turnout down for profit and the ultimate destruction of the country for profit. A couple quarters of profit. They don't care. They'll move somewhere else. 800-347-1063. Text line 71307. Start watching the lineup on Fox, and you'll begin to see why their coverage is so schizoid. Texter writes, you promised before the last news, really disappointed on the Electoral College. Yeah, I'm going to do it next because I got a bigger segment here. Explain what, you know, what, okay, why the Democrats are obsessed with this Electoral College and what the Founding Fathers meant by it. Up next. All right, outrage and practically mutiny has broken out on the text line. That's 71307, because I promised to explain this whole Electoral College thing, and I did not pay off as early as I should have. I wanted to wait till a bigger segment to explain it to you. I actually had somebody text in, well, why do you want to end it? Yeah, we should end the Electoral College, and you know, why are you against that? Okay. And the left is lying about the Electoral College right now, but hey, they lie about everything, do they not? I told you they would do this. The whole purpose, remember going back to the national anthem, I told you how important a battle that was. A lot of you were like, I'm not talking about this. I don't care about the anthem. I don't care about the flag, the football games. I don't care. Let's talk about national debt. No. No. Because you got to look at the bigger picture. The purpose of demonizing the anthem, taking the knee, making that the norm, was the idea that the anthem was illegitimate because the founding of our country happened during a time of slavery. Thus, everything about the founding must somehow be thrown out. It's a bizarre line of reasoning. Our founding fathers made us the freest people on earth, and that included the slaves who were later freed. Yet we're supposed to throw all those freedoms out because there was slavery at the time of the founding. It's a bizarre argument. There is no connection between the First Amendment and slavery. Well, get rid of the First Amendment is what they're saying because we had slavery. Wait, what? No. It was conceived by a slave nation. So? Those slaves are now the freest people on the face of the earth. Nobody has speech freedom anywhere else on earth like we have right here in this country. Nobody does. It was a miracle, the founding of this country. And so the reason they were pursuing, and I explained this to you, the reason that they wanted to tar the national anthem, the flag, as offensive, got to take a knee, they wanted to associate it with slavery. Why? These are the steps they're taking to throw the Constitution out because people who owned slaves or were associated with the time of slavery came up with the Constitution. Ergo, it must go. So they can have their totalitarian regime, which is, of course, the goal. They're doing that here. They're using this. This is exactly what the whole kneeling controversy was over. Well, we got to throw out the Electoral College. Why? It's associated with slavery. Not really. That's a lie, and I'm going to break that down in a minute. But let me tell you what they're saying, because it sounds good. This is Representative Steve Cohen. He's a Democrat.
So the slave states didn't want a popular election because their slaves wouldn't count toward voting, and the slave states would have less votes. This is all conceived in sin and perpetuating slavery on the American people and on the African-American people directly. We need to give...
What a crock. Well, it's about Electoral College. It's about slavery. No, it wasn't. Was that a concern of the slave-owning state? Sure, they wanted to get the upper hand. That's not why the Founding Fathers conceived of the Electoral College. You can read for yourself in Federalist 68. Love the Federalist papers. They're awesome. I'm so glad that the Founding Fathers wrote them so we can see what they were actually thinking instead of the lies that you'll hear on cable television. You got to understand something, really. Let me go back to the Revolution, the founding, because you have to understand how remarkable the Revolution was and why they wanted the Electoral College. The Revolution, there has never been any revolution on Earth like it before or since, at least not recorded by history. And plenty of revolutions. We saw this, the Russian Revolution, the Chinese Communist Revolution, where they got the serfs to rise up, the upper classes did. Used them to take control of the country in, you know, promise a return of prosperity and greater freedom and stuff like that. Well, that never pays off, and the upper classes then rule them with an iron fist. It's always how it's gone. Not in this country, though. In this country, we had an amazing and an unbelievable thing. When you look back to the time of Washington, this country was ruled by the same, you know, aristocratic system that they had in Britain because it was a British colony. And so what you had was an aristocrat in George Washington who was a different kind of thinker. His father had done the unbelievable, the scandalous, and married the maid. His mom was a maid. His father was an aristocrat, aristocratic landowner. And so he came from a completely different mindset of the mixing of the classes. This was a radical idea in Washington's times, but then all of Washington's ideas were radical for the time. And so Washington led a serfs' rebellion. But Washington did a crazy thing. So did the Founding Fathers. Once you have a serfs rebellion, you don't turn the power over the serfs. Good God, it stays in the party, as it did in China and Russia and places like that, Venezuela. But they genuinely wanted to turn the country over to the serfs, to the lower classes. They wanted them to be true equals, a crazy thing. One problem. If you look back to the time of Washington, it was an agrarian society. So having wealth in almost every case meant having a lot of land. And keeping a lot of land in a small number of hands of the owners, which is fine. They own the land. They knew that if they went with a democratic form of government, that it would be just a few years, you can read it in Federalist 68, before the serfs voted themselves the land of the big landowners. It was inevitable. And so they had to create a system that would prevent that. Fast forward to today. Wealth is not in land today. It is somewhat, but it's not in land today. It's in money and resources and corporations and things like stock markets, things like that, investments. But the premise is still the same. The serfs would vote themselves the wealth of others because they will always have bigger numbers. And that's what the Electoral College is designed to prevent. And when you look at Federalist 68, the second problem was that small states would be overrun by big states. Under the Electoral College system, every state gets at least three electors. But there was something else, too. And the brilliance of the Founding Fathers, they foresaw Hugo Chavez, which is still unbelievable to me. They foresaw Hugo Chavez. They were afraid, and you can read this in Federalist 68. Hamilton did a brilliant job delineating it. They were afraid that the people, being so generally ignorant, as they are today and were then, would be swayed by a totalitarian, dictatorial-type candidate and elect him or her to be the president. Well, it'd be him then. You seen that meme that's going around on Facebook? It's going around on social media. You can vote yourself into socialism, but you have to shoot yourself out of it. They knew that. They understood that profoundly. And so what happened was they were afraid that the ignorant masses would vote themselves a leader who was a despot. And so they wanted to make that really, really difficult. They wanted to build something into the system to prevent that. You saw that work in this last election. A person who was truly despotic and a criminal. A criminal so in control of the system, a judicial system so enthralled with that criminal that she literally is unprosecutable. Could you want that person as president? No, the Electoral College saved us from that. Didn't spare us the outcome that we're still living today of her power over our judicial system, over our criminal justice system, but protected us from her. Exactly what it was supposed to do. They did not want direct elections. And the reason they didn't, it was because they believed that the electors could override the people, that the electors would generally be smarter and more educated. But they had something else going for them, too. The electors only met once, as they explain in Federalist 68. So this wasn't a group over time that could be influenced. And that if ever a despot was elected by the popular vote, the electors would overthrow it. As, by the way, there was an attempt to do, led by Paul Ryan, now on the board of Fox News, and Ted Cruz, at the last Electoral College. It failed. But it is a last stopgap to stop a despot, as they called it in their time, or a tyrant. So this idea, well, it's just to keep the slaves in check and all. We gotta get rid of it because, slavery, lie. We desperately need the Electoral College now more than ever. Or we would have an unconvictable criminal with dual justice system privilege, unaccountable to any law enforcement in the country running this country. Brilliance of the Founding Fathers, folks. She was blocked, even though she won the popular vote. Texter writes, Tara, I loved your last segment, except for one thing. I truly don't think we can or should award that criminal confirmation that she had the popular vote. We really need to dive deeply into the rampant voter fraud. Only citizens should vote, and they should only vote once. Yeah, it is currently, given the state of the voter rolls in this country, it is unknowable who actually won the popular vote in the last election. It's literally unknowable, and I'm going to prove that to you in the next hour, by the way. Tune in at 8:20. Got a great segment on illegal immigrant voting, which a judicial watch study of the situation. They're suing multiple states right now to clean up their rolls, which includes getting the illegals off the rolls. They're estimating about 900,000 illegal immigrant votes in the midterms were cast. And that doesn't even count the other illegal votes. So it literally is unknowable in this country at this point who won the popular vote. It can't be known. So hold tight. Text me the word podcast. If you can't listen, if you got to go into work and listen to the 8 o'clock hour at 8:20, and you'll be able to understand what I'm talking about. I just haven't gotten there yet. Can't do it all in one segment. I'm not that good. Texture writes, Tara, the Electoral College was created so the rich in the cities could not control the election of president. Bingo. So that the rural common man would have an equal voice. Yes, the rural common man in small states. Don't the left hate the rich so they support the Electoral College, right? Well, you can look at it that way, too. The Electoral College is to preserve the influence of the minority. That's what it's for. Both minority states and small sizes that are small sizes, that would be just paved over, rolled over by big areas. And you got to think of that not just as like issues and what you think and what you believe, but literally think about it. If the larger states could use the power of the federal government to direct tax money their way, to direct influence their way, to channel government power and funds into the states, what would happen is the smaller states would simply become donor states in terms of tax money. That's one of the big reasons, by the way, that the Civil War was fought. They won't tell you this in school. Because the North wanted to bleed the South dry economically. The idea was that the money from the South would be pumped into the North by an all-powerful government that would use population in order to take democratically money from states and transfer it. What you would literally see is the mainlining of money out of South Carolina and into California and places like that. Trust me, you don't want to end the Electoral College. It's just a really bad idea.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.